Book of Romans on Sunday morning. We've come to chapter 6 now. Just remember the first three chapters showed all men condemned under sin. Chapter 4 showed us that we were saved through faith. Chapter 5 showed us that that faith was in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in chapter 6 he's instructing us to walk that out, to walk in newness of life as we have been raised with Christ. So go ahead and stand to your feet with me if you can, out of respect for the reading of God's word. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye do serve to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey? Sin unto death, obedience unto righteousness. But God, a brother may obey part of doctrine and liberty. Be they made free from the gifts of idols. I speak to them that are men in the flesh, to yield uncleanness unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. To all those amen. Go ahead and turn out with me to 3 John. Been going through the general epistles on Sunday afternoons, and we're going to go backwards today, and finish this afternoon, but this morning we're going to do an overview of 3 John. So why did you stand with the first face and read through Scripture? Unto the beloved God, follow me then, your love it and obey it. Help us to learn from it, to be instructed by it, to be rebuked by it, to be faithful in such a task. That's not far. First class, thank you. And this joy, this will be on. Hold on, may I prosper in health, even as thy soul prospers. When the brethren came, in fight of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a goodly sort, thou shalt do, a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might fellow helpers to the truth. Go down to the church. Biographies, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does. Great and such militia were not content therewith. Master himself received the bread, and bids them the good, and cast it out of the church. Blood, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that is good of the evil God. Demetrius hath the and truth itself. And also, he know that our good is good. But I am afraid unto thee. But I shall be seen, and shall see face to face. First, we'll go through and look at what the text says. Then we'll go through it again and make sure we end what the text means. And then lastly, we'll look at how the text applies, how it instructs us. His books are similar, and his closings of the book are similar. I shall write unto you shortly, and be able to see that he puts it out. In 2 Thessalonians, he says, "My love, the Lord, I said, three friends, my name." In his opening, he says, "I love you," and in the text, he says, "My love in truth." And in the book to the elect lady, a letter to the elect lady, he says, "I rejoice that I found that truth, and in the God, I have no need of my children walk in truth." So the very similar, both very similar, and even the body is similar. It's some sort of a flip-on, right? A little bit too hospitable. And her temptation was to be hospitable to the enemies of the cross. That those who were enemies of Jesus Christ and his gospel, who did not confess that Jesus Christ was come in the flesh, she was still tempted to allow them to come into her house. And he told her, you can't do that.
They're true preachers of gospel coming in. There was Andy Dastrophe who cast people out of the church if they had these true teachers. And so I can say, you're not able to actually like lady, people deem themselves the cross. So you're the dudes of the quality. You can also lose the truth. So he says, ladies, speak to letters. Some have suggested that I have to publish these letters back to back. That he sent out just to both of them. He says, I'm using his full dress. He's a senior. He's planning to guys stand back to lady. I don't ever sound a stuff of metal or such nature. And they're all kind of slur you can impose. Yeah, thank you. Next one, thank you for the frisbee. And the next one, thank you for, you know, whatever it was that you got as gifts. But you go back and you read them and you realize they all sound kind of the same. That's okay. They're going to different people. It's not like one person's going to read all the same ones. And so some have speculated, perhaps that's what John was doing here, that he was in this frame of mind. He knew of people who were dealing with the issue of hospitality. Kind of this. And so he sends out and plans to deal with this. Between lines. And if you see, no doubt, that this is the Apostle John Hill. These similarities are just without us. And what the scripture explicitly tells. That is not any pious. That's what verse 1 says. The elder unto the well-beloved Bible in the truth. There's no doubt there. Slate compels guests that he rejoiced to hear a report that God was in the truth. Verse 1 says, I hope your health is your health. The word of God was especially healthy in John 3, the Holy Spirit, because he says, I want your bodily health to be that good. Evidently walking in the truth. And he says in verse 3, even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So Gaius doesn't need reprimanded. Exactly.
He doesn't need corrected if something he's doing wrong. He needs to be encouraged to keep him right. He is walking in the truth. He is. His soul is trusted.
Verses 5 and 6 tell us that the particular issue on is encouraging God in his child. Well, that's for me. That's brethren and sisters. To bring witness that before the church. These brethren who were saved and published church in Ephesus. And it's not for the Trinity. It's not for the Trinity. Fact that Gaius was a hospitable. He was right.
A born witness is charity with church. Whom thou bring forth on the journey after a gospel. Shall use
the charity. Keep showing them this.
Verse 10, John says that when we help the friends of Jesus Christ, the sons of God, particularly those who are spreading the good news, missionaries, we are partakers in their good works.
Words, because that his namesake, because his namesake went forth, nothing to do with the Jesus Christ.
So John was telling him,
you got to share all the preaching while they're being gospel. Neither such, the truth. There's a famous missionary that said, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm out in the public, I'll know the rep. That was his idea. If you make sure that I have wherewith I can live, I'll go to India. I'll go to the guys of the Lord with God's paid along. I'll bring to them. You hold the rope. That's it. Here's some guys who are going out. You hold the rope. You support them.
Verses 9 and 10, we see that John condemns Diotrephes' immorality and calls him out on his pride. I wrote unto the church. So John had already sent a letter to Gaius' church asking them to help these guys who had gone out for Jesus' sake. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will
receive these priests with this word. And not there yet, not even here, even the and that's that church. So after he says, yes, these men, 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 grow up, listen to Ashley Pirate. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that children's ministry. There was one episode in particular where they got caught by land, fingers, and their feet were first, they had any kind of chimes. I don't know what is about those words. It comes actually to them. First, fingers! The child of the brains. They're fond of being first. It's selfish nature. It's pride. It's arrogance. It's opinion. We need to be first. And this is what Ashley was. He loves to have this network against the men and the apostle John in death. He is a good God, but he is evil and not a God. In verse 12, that's one side of it. We have Demetrius, and his book, Demetrius. And Jim points out, so just follow up, and he's told Diotrephes evil. So don't follow him, but follow what's good. Well, let me give you an example. Demetrius is good, okay. And you know, our church, but then we'll follow, pick out Demetrius. I'm a cast people, and you want to people ensure, spiritually, one, or you're from the Mason, or more than truth, crash up to the end of the day, and
maybe now, I hope you can agree with me that far without any debate.
It's just that what I want there is clear that. Now let me say, now timeline, what is going on here? What we think the apostle is dealing with. And this is where Raj Gurder, and all this is now, and comes from. Which says, he reads from the elders, and he comes off there, and we tell you about the church. And then the church, he sends us a good this three, and spread the gospel, also around the, we're not going to get the missionaries, he's Mitra's, and spiritual, and spiritual, many of the three, and there's no church, and flips, and people, but he's not going to be in church. And he did not want to apostle with us. That letter, also, hey, help care for Christ in your air.
He's going to tell me what to do. Perhaps this was Diotrephes' attitude. Perhaps he thought, I'm going to make some on what
he took in England, to minister on his turf. Well, now you can just go back where you came from, and nobody in this church is allowed to help you. We'll do a good enough job by ourselves. Churches are not gang. We don't need to. You do 5 miles to go somewhere else. Are we going to see Jesus or not? I mean, not the Lord, obviously, but if they're going somewhere else because of their preferences we talked about in the Q&A a couple weeks ago, if they're going to church preaching in the gospel, don't tear a portal. You have Fridays and somebody from, you know, Bobby Church in Sheffield Street Corner, I'll keep preaching in Sheffield, but for the street, this is you not trying to. You have to have preeminence. It's not turning to church. Third, some says it's the or treasure dealer who held the purse. Remember, this was Mrs. Cobb. He did not ointment poured on Jesus' feet, not because he had the boy, because he held the thief. Maybe that's he didn't take these guys who came in because there are reasons. I'm not like a hey, dad of the slant, perhaps. Not bad, but no, that's meant for the Apple Jesus Christ to be first. Fourth, the answer is similar to the one, but perhaps he simply wanted to throw his weight around, and this wasn't his idea, so he was sure. Yeah. Have you ever met anyone like that? If it's not their idea, it's a bad idea. Every time, it doesn't matter how good it is, you know? I think you should get up and go to work. Well, I mean, I don't know about that. Well, you just told me yesterday you thought you should get up. Well, that was yesterday. I didn't come up with it, therefore it's not a good idea. Maybe Diotrephes had that kind of personality. Whatever one of those four or something else or a mix of the four is the root of it was that he loved to have the preeminence. He was on the his to reject the missionaries who come to minister to the Gentiles in his area. And John says he didn't just reject them. This is where perhaps much of my income comes from, as the members of the church would help each other when the Jews would cast them out and the Gentiles would cast them out. And so the Apostle John wants to encourage him in the face of fierce opposition. It seems as though these missionaries had returned to Ephesus, so now the heat's died off a little bit, because it says they testified of his charity before the whole church. And now John is sending them back with this letter. And the heat's going to be turned back up again. And so John tells guys, listen, when they come again, keep bringing them forward after the godly sort. Do it again, even if Diotrephes sends you. He reminds them to follow the example of good men. You were able to add it to you. The question in overview then is, what do we learn from this short epistle that John has been called? The short one instructs us. I have 7 applications here this morning, and I'm sure through this over the next 4 weeks will draw me on. Hospitality, Christian hospitality, is not just for when times are easy. That's not the worst code for hospitality. Oh, people came in, they fried fish for us, we played ball, we had bread. That's not when times easy. Now, John Cassar said, you weren't ever clean up when times easy. What do you mean by that? I'm a church system one, because I was these people. John was a guy who's John, because I was these people. John focused on Christian hospitality for people, because any of them have a knife, have a fish. I don't know. What's the only one? Your missionaries have turned to nothing to the Gentiles. If it's for them, they don't eat. Guys, that's something with you. We don't take our own. So I have to take care of my brothers and sisters in Christ and risk being ostracized and possibly even kicked out of the church for it. Or I have to cave to the political pressures of Diotrephes and not take care of them and know that I was hungry and you fed me not. I was thirsty and you gave me not drink. I mean, Gaius is between a rock and a hard place here. He needs this encouragement from the apostle, and you and I do as well. Whenever this point comes up, I don't know, I think of Brother Doug. If he said it to me once, he said it to me 10 times. The day may come that the only way we can survive is to depend on one another. We don't know that that's not a possibility. Well, I talked about in Sunday school, imagining that the past 100 years are a forerunner of the next 100 years. We don't know that. There have been many times and places in history when Christians were entirely dependent upon one another for their survival. The whole world was against them, and if they didn't take care of themselves, no one would. And we need to be settled in 3 John here that we're committed to Christian hospitality in good times and in bad. That even if it's going to cost us something, we're going to show Christian hospitality. Secondly, this book
instructs us that the instructions that we have from the apostles trump our feelings. Diotrephes had a feeling that he didn't like these guys. He also had a letter from the Apostle John saying, take care of these guys. Now what is he going to do? Well, Diotrephes let his emotions run the day. I want preeminence. I don't care what the apostle said. I'm going to do what I want to do. Gaius and Demetrius apparently said, this is going to be really hard. It's going to cost me something. And therefore, to some extent, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to follow the instructions of the apostles. And you and I need to be committed to that as well. Pastor Michael read a week or two ago, I think, a quote from Justin Martyr, where he talked about, this is what we do on Sundays, on the Lord's Day. We come together, and the memoirs of the apostles or the instructions of the prophets are read and explained. That's what we do every Sunday. I open up the memoirs of the apostles. Pastor Michael opens up the instructions from the prophets, and they're read, and they're explained. And we have to be committed to the fact that what the Holy Spirit has told us through the apostles and the prophets trumps our feelings. I don't want to do this. This goes against the culture. This goes against me being first. But God has instructed me through his apostles that this is how it's to be done, and therefore this is how I'm going to do it. Now, you and I face that dilemma nearly every day in one form or another. Now, hopefully, you've put to death the sins in your life, and you've made such a pattern of asking, what do the scriptures say, and following it, that it's not as hard as it once was. But we all have to answer the question every day, when I don't want to honor my father and my mother, am I going to go with my feelings, or am I going to go with what the scriptures say? When I don't want to submit to my husband, am I going to go with my feelings, or am I going to go with what the scriptures say? When I don't feel like loving my wife, am I going to follow my feelings, or am I going to do what the scriptures say? When I don't want to work diligently as unto the Lord, am I going to go with my feelings, or am I going to go with what the scriptures say? 100 times a day we make this decision for ourselves. And so 3 John is very helpful in reminding us the danger of following our feelings rather than following the instructions of the scriptures. Thirdly, we see here in our text that the gospel does not allow for competing egos. Diotrephes' problem was that he loved preeminence. And the Apostle Paul, who I believe has probably been called the greatest Christian or missionary to ever live, said, you're following Paul? You're following Apollos? What is Paul? What is Apollos? Some water? Some plant? But it's Christ who gives the increase. Who am I to be upset? I can't believe you listen to Alistair Begg on YouTube. My preaching isn't good enough for you? Get all of Christ you can get. Take in the scriptures. Hear from good, faithful, godly men. It doesn't allow for competing egos. In that sense, it doesn't allow for competing egos in the church, not just among teachers. When you don't get your way about something that's in the church, I was talking with a man last night who said, you know what I think we should do? We should do it this way. But I know there's always somebody who's going to say, we've never done it that way. When that thought comes up, die to yourself. Don't. If it's not something of scriptural value, we're talking about who gets to eat first, the older people, the younger people, mothers with children. If we decide to do something a certain way, I asked everybody last night to let the older people go first. I can't believe he asked me to do that. Don't love to have the preeminence. Don't allow there to be this clashing of egos. Die to yourself. Fourthly, 3 John is helping us to remember that church discipline is not a rod to spank people who don't do things the way we want them to do it. That's what Diotrephes did. Apostle John asked these missionaries to be cared for. Demetrius and Gaius went along with it. And Diotrephes either was an elder who lorded over the flock and cast them out, or he had such influence and sway in the church that he was able to rile enough people up to vote him out. Whatever the case may be, he was the linchpin in getting these people excommunicated because they didn't bow to his wishes. That is not biblical church discipline. That is not what excommunication is about. It's about keeping the church pure from those who are in direct, obvious, public disobedience to the commands of Scripture and will not repent. Quite the opposite of what was going on here. These people were obeying the commands of the apostle and were kicked out for it. So we need to guard ourselves, be careful. Fifthly, 3 John teaches us that the biggest personality is not necessarily the best person to follow. Apparently, Diotrephes was a very charismatic individual. Apparently, he had enough influence and sway and was able to speak loud enough and long enough to get his way for a while in the church. And John says, don't follow him. Now, what do we know about Demetrius? He has a good report. That's all we're told. We don't get... I speculated that maybe he was helping these missionaries, that he was one of the ones that was opposing Diotrephes. We don't know that about him. If we read the account of Diotrephes and the account of Demetrius, it seems like Diotrephes was the loud, charismatic, personable one, and Demetrius was willing to serve in the background, to serve in the shadows, to not be in the limelight. And you know what? After decades of service in that church, everybody knew he had a good report. He didn't have to get up and tell everyone that he had a good report. He didn't have to love the preeminence and put himself in the spotlight and put himself in the front. Everybody who knew Demetrius knew, here's a faithful man. Here's a man who wants to serve. You and I need to be discerning. We need to recognize that sometimes it's not the loud, charismatic, boisterous ones who put themselves in front of everyone that deserve to be followed. Sometimes the discerning eye will see it is the meek and quiet and gentle servant who is most qualified to be followed. In fact, wasn't that the description of Jesus? He made himself of no reputation. 6. The church ought to be filled with people seeking to serve others without recognition. This goes dovetails into what we just said. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul instructs the church at Philippi the same way. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That ought to be the heart of every church member. It's not about me getting my way. It's about me serving others. It's about me dying to myself, counting another as better than myself, looking to others' needs as well as my own, and not only my own. And that leads us to our last and apex point, which is that all of us must strive to recognize Jesus' preeminence over all. The damning character of Diotrephes was not that he loved to have preeminence over Demetrius, was not that he loved to have preeminence over Gaius, was not that he loved to have preeminence over the Apostle John, but that he loved to have preeminence over Jesus. That was the damning flaw for him. These men had gone out for his sake, for Christ's sake. And Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence. Don't go out for Jesus' sake. Go out for my sake. Make sure Diotrephes looks good in this. How is this going to benefit me? In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, again, the Apostle Paul says that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. If Diotrephes was an elder, he wasn't the head. The Apostle John was an apostle and an elder. He wasn't the head. Pastor Michael and myself are elders and under-shepherds. We are not the head. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Bickering amongst ourselves, bickering about other churches coming onto our turf, bickering about this elder trying to have influence in our church, all of this reflects not just a love of ourself over our fellow men, but a love of ourself over Jesus Christ himself. When we die to ourselves and serve one another, ultimately it is not because of our love for our fellow men as the final end, but our love for Jesus Christ as the final end. And our obedience to him, our following him, our submitting ourselves to him. So as we spend the next several weeks, couple of months, going through the book of 3 John, as I said, I think we'll see all of those applications fleshed out and many more, but let it always be the overarching theme through all of it that Jesus Christ has the preeminence. He is first. He is the head of the body. And let us serve in such a way that properly reflects that. If you're an unbeliever here this morning, if you've not repented of your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not part of his body. He's not your head. And so the gospel command is to you again to repent and believe the gospel, that in so doing you would be grafted in, made part of his body, born again, placed under the headship of the Lord Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. You have given to Jesus Christ to be the head of all things, of his body, the church, and of all creation, who was created by him and consists by him. Forgive us for the idolatry of loving to have the preeminence. Let us keep Christ at the forefront. Let us ever serve one another as a reflection of our service to you. It's for Christ's sake we ask all these things. Amen.